A new report published by the United Nations reveals that the number of human trafficking victims around the world is on the rise, especially women and children. So, well, let's look at this human behavior and a crime, of course. How does the UN define human trafficking?
Well, the definition is a bit elaborate, so bear with me. According to the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime and the protocols thereto, trafficking in person shall mean the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of persons by means of the threat of use of force or other forms of coercion, abduction, fraud, or deception, or the abuse of power or of any position of vulnerability, or giving or receiving of payments or benefits to achieve the consent of a person having control over another person, mainly for the purpose of exploitation. And exploitation includes, at a minimum, the exploitation of the prostitution of others or any other form of sexual exploitation, forced labor or services, slavery or practices similar to slavery, servitude, or the removal of organs. So to break this down into three constituent elements, there's the act of it, which is the recruitment and the transportation and the transferring of people. And then there's the means, okay, the threat of force or coercion or manipulation to gain something from, you know, from someone's exploitation. And the purpose for it is mainly for prostitution or forced labor and slavery. And according to the International Labor Organization, human traffickers rake in about $150 billion in profits. And that's per year, annually, through this type of labor, whether it's agricultural, industrial, domestic, or in prostitution. And this is an estimated 40.3 million people have been enslaved worldwide to this day. And for me, this is a bit shocking that it's just... it's so many people to this present day. And I think a lot of us have this notion that, you know, human trafficking is something of the past. And especially with, for example, like the transatlantic slave trade, where this was like the epitome of human trafficking on a larger scale. But it seems that it's still happening to this day. And it's a bit alarming and it's a bit heavy, especially for well, for me, when I was reviewing some of the cases that have been going on nowadays all over the world, including the U.S., I was on the Department of Homeland Security's website, and they painted a pretty bleak picture of typically how it happens. And a lot of times there will be a home, a larger home with a lot of rooms, and there will be a lot of women that are enslaved there. And a lot of times they use sometimes heroin or drugs to, you know, drug up the women. That way they can't defend themselves. They can't contest because they're high. And then in this time they're used pretty much for merchandise. And it sounds a bit raw, but that's really what is being done. And it's just a very disgusting practice that unfortunately is still happening today.
Yes, and also we have some details about the UN report. Before we dive into the findings of the report, maybe we can have some background information. The 2018 UNODC, which means United Nations Office on Drugs and Crimes, Global Report on Trafficking in Persons, is the fourth of its kind and mandated by the General Assembly through the 2010 United Nations Global Plan of Action to Combat Trafficking in Persons. So this report, it gathers information and covers 142 countries and provides an overview of patterns and flows of trafficking in persons at global, regional, and national levels, based primarily on trafficking cases detected between 2014 and 2016. So people may wondering, like, who are the victims? So based on this report, usually most of the victims, they are under 18 years old. The report said girls account for 23% of all trafficking victims detected globally. The figure, which is based on data from 2016, is up from 21% in 2014 and 10% in 2004. So we can see over the years, this number increased a lot. While boys, they account account for 7% of reported trafficking victims, down from 8% in 2014 and up from 3% in 2004. So in the profile of identified victims, we can see more and more children and girls have become the victims of the human trafficking globally.
I think that's a really interesting and alarming, of course, figure to be presented. And one thing I just like to make it clear here is that these are numbers and percentages. So we don't know what exactly is the total number for each individual group differentiated by age or gender. So that is one part of this report that I find it would be useful to know that information. But now we can only sort of try to look at the situation in our minds like in a pie-shaped chart. So to see the percentage of girls, women, boys, and grown men being sort of their percentage being distributed this way in a pie chart. And another interesting finding, I suppose, is that, well, we've talked about the girls as Huangshan has presented the percentage, and there's also more females. So they've divided underage girls and women, and there's the adult women that consists 49% of this crime in total, and that makes girls and women account for almost 3/4 of all detected victims of trafficking in 2016. So that part, I mean, as a female, I when I saw this, it really made my heart ache quite a bit just to think that there are so many vulnerable people, especially women and girls out there, because you're in a vulnerable state. That's why one can be imprisoned in a way and taken away and being traded like cattle sometimes, and that
like
is
merchandise.
Very, very alarming, and I think it's important to talk about this issue. So, Tony, what stood out for you in this report?
What stood out is I believe the way it's done. Sometimes, I mean, there's a few ways, and one big way is armed conflict, and I think that's one that not a lot of people are aware of in some regions of Africa and the Middle East and Asia. You know, there's after a war has taken place, and you know, a lot of these areas that are, you know, have weak rules or laws and lack of resources, and you know, this is fertile terrain for a lot of these type of operations to be carried out. And unfortunately, a lot of the children and women are used for sexual exploitation and forced labor. So I mean, this is definitely one area that stood out to me, because there's a lot of things going on, especially nowadays with a lot of the wars going on in different parts of the world, and this is not really something that you hear about very much. I mean, you hear about disputes over certain resources and, you know, bombs being dropped. But, you know, this is kind of the, I guess you could say it's kind of an undercurrent of what kind of goes on after the fact. And this is not something that doesn't really make it to CNN or any of the news that, you know, you watch. And I was reading on the U.S. Department of Labor's site, and it said that it identified about 148 goods from 75 countries, which was made by forced and child labor. So, and this was a report that came out in 2017. So this is relatively recent. And in that same report, it also said that it's estimated, again, estimations, because it's difficult to get an actual number, but 1 out of 7 endangered runaways reported to the National Center for Missing in the U.S. and exploited children were likely sex trafficking victims. Of those, 88% were in the care of social services or foster care when they ran away. And this is just kind of a common, I don't want to say stereotype, but this is something that happens a lot with social services when a child is taken from their original parents for whatever the reason and given to foster parents. Sometimes the environment is a lot worse than, you know, their real family, because sometimes these foster, you don't really know some of these people shouldn't be having kids, but they're getting kids anyway. And so a lot of times these kids are victims to the new family. And so they jump from foster home to foster home mainly for these reasons. So it's a very ugly report, but it shines a little bit of light on what's really going on with them. And it's the aftermath of a war. And then it's also in the foster care. It's everywhere, and it's really alarming, and it makes me feel uncomfortable. When I have a child, a daughter or a son, it's definitely something that you fear for your kids, because this is a huge market, apparently $100 billion U.S. dollars a year. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the part which caught my attention is whether, if we argue whether the situation has improved or worsened. Because I think now our country, not only in China, but all around the world, all the countries are trying to carry out stricter regulations or law to punish those people who involved into human trafficking. And also, I think based on the media coverage and also the publicity, people's awareness of human trafficking have been increased a lot, but why the number is still on the increase. So it's hard for us to discuss whether it's getting better or getting worsened, because maybe the rise could be due to an increase in the trafficking globally, or it could be a result of enhanced national capabilities to detect, record, and report data they found. And also, I think now the people who are involved in human trafficking, they are trying to take advantage of people's kindness or their good heart. Because when I read some cases online, those girls who later became victims, actually they being kidnapped because they want to help. They want to offer a hand to help the people who asked them. Because some girls say they saw an old couple, really old couple, and dressed in rags and look so poor. So the girl wanted to help them. So she may offer them 100 yuan to give them a meal. And then the old couple said, "Oh, we don't want the money. We just want some food. Can you bring us to a restaurant?" So the girl just think, "Oh, I can give you the money and you can go to a restaurant by yourselves." But the old couple insists of letting the girl go to the restaurant with them. So the girl thinks, "Oh, maybe it's okay. I just go with them." And when she arrived at a restaurant, and the restaurant looks so shabby and is not a normal restaurant, then the girl started thinking, "Oh, maybe something goes wrong here." So she went away. And just in the other week, one of her classmates who went to the same restaurant and just went missing. So maybe sometimes those people just take advantage of your kindness. And also, maybe we are living in an information era, which digitalization is everywhere. I remember I watched a film called Defriended, The Dark Web. So actually, maybe people think this movie might maybe exaggerate the situation of dark web, but it reveals some truth. So with the help of internet and technology, actually, it makes people do human trafficking much easier than before.
I think you raise a really interesting point here, and certainly we see that with these crimes, they have, in a way, upgraded technology and infrastructure to carry them out. Because, Huang Shen, the examples you just gave us, I think it at least shows that they're stages of how this crime is conducted. Because you get the initial trapping, isolation, and getting the victim to one place, and then there's also another stage on the deep dark web that is not the usual internet that civilians use, that could become a marketplace for these crimes to happen, and that becomes a really dire problem, I suppose, for the governments around the world to try to fight this issue. And also, just thinking about all the people, the families that's involved, this would be a great suffering for folks, for sure. And despite these, I suppose, measures and trying to tighten laws in some countries, but there's still some problems regarding this issue. And one is that, according to this UN report, it says that the absolute numbers of convictions remain very low. So that's the part that I find, I suppose, is the part that tugs your heartstring. 'Cause if you can detect the victims, and these victims are reported, but you haven't punished the criminals that initiated the crime. And that's the part I think we need a little bit of explanation. Why is this happening?
Well, I think, as we mentioned earlier, the amount, I guess, it's unfortunate that we live in a world where money is kind of like the blood that fuels everything. And $150 billion industry, and that's just an estimate, and it's a possibility that there could be a lot more money that could be earned from this type. And you mentioned like a different kind of web, like a black web, where a lot of crime is going on. So this is human trafficking. There's probably a lot of other crimes that are going on this web, and definitely not indicting or not charging people for these crimes is almost like it's keeping these type of crimes in the behind the radar. That way it can continue for some reason. And it's alarming that since there is knowledge that there is this huge operation going on, I mean, human trafficking could just be one segment of it. There could be, there's a huge industry in drugs, for example, which is, you know, produced and shipped all over the world. So this could also be something that's on this web that needs to be addressed. And I definitely feel that if people are convicted of some of these crimes, the awareness will, a lot of people will see what's really going on. And obviously, if someone is being sentenced for, you know, life in prison, or if they're giving, you know, they're getting capital punishment for some of these actions, it will raise awareness all over the world. And I think a lot of these criminals will think twice before, you know, engaging in this type of operation, because they saw what happened to the last guy. But as you mentioned, I actually don't hear of anyone being convicted of any of these crimes. So I think that there's definitely we definitely have a way to go in terms of tracking down this system, because this is a sophisticated system that's been going on for quite some time. And again, as I mentioned, I don't believe that it's only human trafficking here. There's probably a lot of other illegal activity that's going on. And so the crackdown of this black web, or this type of system, will be a huge change, I believe.
And also, sometimes maybe human trafficking is hard for the police officers to detect, because as we mentioned before, the majority of victims, they fell into sexual exploitation. So sometimes maybe the police officers and detectives, they also fail to recognize trafficking, usually due to inadequate training on the topic. And also, when a victim reports being forced into prostitution, maybe she was started from being human trafficked, but she reported as being forced into prostitution. The officer may just take the reporter investigating the case doesn't know the difference between prostitution and also human trafficking. So he may put the case of human trafficking into prostitution, forced prostitution. So this actually reduces the number of people know in terms of human trafficking.
You make a really good point. And I feel that there is a stigma for prostitution. And in the States, it's no secret. Like, if there's a prostitute, sometimes people have this this stigma that this person is doing it on their free will. So it's not something that warrants the attention of law enforcement. And there's not a lot of digging that goes into play. It's more of, okay, this is something that you're doing that's illegal, and you are going to be charged for it, you know, instead of looking at the entire operation. So I think that that's definitely a valid point that you brought up in terms of prostitution and human trafficking, because human trafficking, it's a global system. And prostitution, a lot of times, law enforcement looks at it as the individual is trying to exploit themselves in a way to just kind of make money.
Mm-hmm.
And they charge that person individually. So sometimes a prostitute may hide the fact that that's what she's doing because she may get penalized for it.
Mm. And also forced prostitution is a different form of prostitution. And that would put the... women in most cases, in of course the victim's position, and of course I think we did mention when it comes to human trafficking, there's also the second biggest category is forced labor, and the third one was selling of organs. Well, that's really horrific too. When these cases are reported, that this is actually a really important part of this of the investigation. Like you guys said, how do you classify this crime? And if it all started with human trafficking, that these people are victims of human trafficking, and that part gets neglected, so to put it in a question would be like, you know, why is it that this self-report system or this self-identification not in place? It's a huge issue because people's attention, the authorities' attention, is not drawn to the real root crime. And it just gets lost in this whole casing process. And that becomes a really bad situation when the real crime doesn't get dealt with. And we do see this can become a little bit of a vicious cycle. And now, how are these efforts being conducted to combat human trafficking in the year of 2018? As we see, technology could be used to help out.
I think according to a report by Fortune.com last October, a coalition of nonprofits, law enforcement, and financial institutions is working to prevent human trafficking via the Traffic Analysis Hub, a system that aims to identify trafficking networks by analyzing the movement of money. So I think with the development and the implementation of those joint efforts and some softwares, we can track down those human trafficking behaviors. But maybe it will become better if everyone in the society could be involved into these efforts. And we can also give our own contribution to detect or figure out or report the cases that might be on the way.
That's a really good point. And the fact that they're tracking the money, and I think that that's huge because the money leaves a trail. And if we can follow that trail, then we can have a larger idea of, you know, who is, well, not who, but what organization or organizations are responsible for this large scale human trafficking. Because as you mentioned, human trafficking is just one crime, and it breeds other crimes in it. So this knowledge of finding out where the money comes from, and I think, you know, for example, companies like, you know, Western Union and Liberty Global, a lot of these companies are engines that a lot of companies or people or individuals use to transport money from, you know, accounts in different countries. So I think that this is a really good start in terms of finding out who is responsible for a lot of these, this global atrocity.
Yes. And I think for families, must keep a watchful eye on the boys and girls. And as adults, the more vulnerable ones, sometimes it's women. I think it's also kind of important to be equipped with this awareness and this, and you know, being able to spot the risks and protect yourself. And of course, governments, as we see in China as well, there's a special unit that's devoted to fighting human trafficking. And a lot of these joint efforts need to happen to combat this issue. We'll be back after this short break.